be worshiping the Lord here with all of you today. And it's a joy and a privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you as well. When I was thinking about what to speak about initially, I had another topic in my mind, but when I shared this topic with my wife, she said, you know, that'll be good, but I think you really need to share what's been on your mind and your heart. So I knew right away what I really wanted to share with you today, church, is the topic of death and the brevity of life. Death and the brevity of life. A little while back, many of you can remember that we took a church health audit survey, and one of the results that came about was that we were a fairly young church. And we might be tempted to think, why speak about death to a young congregation and the brevity of life to a younger congregation? But actually, I think it is because we are, quote unquote, on the younger side that we should think about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart." When we go to a funeral and we see that person laying in that casket, we are reminded that one day we will lay in that casket as well. Today, let us, through the Word of God, visit the house of mourning, consider our end, and lay it to heart. The passage that the Lord has given to us is James chapter 4, verse 14. And Pastor Paul Park read it for us earlier. In this section of this short epistle, the author James is speaking to people who were busy planning their lives under the assumption that tomorrow was guaranteed. They felt secure and certain about their future. They were talking about investments and business plans and how to turn a profit here and there. They had all these dreams and ambitions for their future. This is how human beings are, right? But I think people living in this day and age and this modern era are even more under this illusion. We have great advances in medicine, great accumulation of science and agriculture, buildings and infrastructure, and all sorts of things to protect us that extend the average lifespan, right? Nevertheless, the truth that James is reminding us here today could not be more true. In 2019, a little virus, something so small you can't even see without a microscope, brought the entire human race to its knees. It affected entire countries and economies, and as the death toll was reported week in and week out, God reminded the entire human race, we are not immortal, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. Today's scripture, God is asking a question to our church. What is your life? What is your life? Is it a river flowing with vibrancy and vitality? Is it a fountain that gushes forth with life as the years go by? And we know, of course not. Today, the Word of God reminds us, our life is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. This image of mist is so simple and easy to understand, yet the truth it carries is so profound. It means life is short, quickly passing, transient, fragile, weak, and unexpectedly ending. And I love how James doesn't even say it fades or slowly passes, but it vanishes. One second you see it, and then the next second it's gone. that sudden, quick, unexpected ending of our lives. I really came to see how true this was several years ago. Many of you know this, but my father passed away in 2017. 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And the doctor said he had 2 to 3 months to live at most. He passed away in 2 weeks. So from the time we found out to the time he passed away, it was just 2 weeks. It was almost like he just vanished. We didn't even have time to prepare or gather ourselves. 1 minute he's here, and the next second he's gone. Like a mist, we appear for a little time, and then we vanish. I look back, and it's already been 5 years. I always say to my wife, to the rest of the world, it happened 5 years ago, but to me, it happened yesterday. It's like I blinked, and then 5 years went by. We get what James is saying. This verse is very straightforward and not difficult to understand. Again, life is short, transitory, and fleeting. We will die. We will die soon, and may die unexpectedly soon. We think we have so much time to do all that we want to do in this life, but the truth is we don't. We think our lives will turn out the way we plan, and you already know this, but most of the time it doesn't. Tomorrow is not even guaranteed, right? This reality that James is teaching here is illustrated all over the Bible. The Bible is full of imagery and metaphors describing the same truth. Psalm 90, verses 9 to 10 says, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." Right? And that's our life. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Moses, who wrote this psalm, says, you might get to 70. If you live long, you might get to 80. But at the end of the day, life is hard. It soon ends and flies away. Almost like a bird, right? Like you could picture a child running up to catch the bird, and as soon as they take 2 steps towards the bird, it's gone. It flies away. And Moses says, that's our life. That's our life. One more verse for us from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah said, all flesh or all humanity or living creatures is like grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. It's a picture from agriculture, right? When the hot south wind blows on the vegetation, the flower and the grass begins to wither. And Isaiah says, that's our life. A delicate flower or grass blighted by the hot wind, quickly withering away. Later in the chapter, he uses the same illustration and says, scarcely they are planted, scarcely they are sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. It's like he's describing this reality that mankind barely gets settled before they end their lives. It's like they just start putting the roots down, and then they're gone. God breathes on them, and they're blown away. same truth reiterated again and again in Scripture. What is our life? A mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Life will end. It will end soon and may end unexpectedly soon. This is one of those truths where you believe and you know it's true, but it grows on you over the years as you start to get older, right? You see and feel how true it is. You see it in yourself, don't you? You start working 5 days a week and you're tired. You start looking forward to the weekend. We start gaining weight. Certain parts of our bodies start to ache and hurt. And hanging out with your friends, it just isn't as fun as it used to be. Before you have a late night out, you start asking yourself, oh man, is this really worth it? You know, do I really want to do this? But I think even more, you see this truth when you look at your parents. You see gray hair start to appear more and more. You get married, you move out of the house. You don't see your parents every day. Next time you meet up with them, you take a good look at them and you realize, whoa, they look different. They start having to go to the doctor more frequently. They start taking medications. And then you start getting nervous that they might fall. You tell them, be careful around the stairs. When it seems like just yesterday, they were full of strength and energy. I'm only in my 30s now, but people who are older than me always tell me, if you think life is moving fast now, it only gets faster as you get older. But honestly, this is how I feel. It's like I blink and 6 months go by. And many of you, you can relate. You know exactly what is being described. I ask myself, why is it that we feel like that? Why is it that we feel that life is so short and time moves so fast? I think it is because we were created to live forever. God created us as eternal beings. And I think that because of that, there is a deep part of us, deep inside, that longs for immortality. That longs for a state of existence where one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. Did you know that death was not a part of God's original design for humanity? When God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, there was no death. Death is a foreign intruder into God's creation. Romans 5 says, death entered the world through sin, which means previously it was not in the world. It entered like a parasite or a virus through the sin of our original parents, Adam and Eve. And as natural as death may seem now, there is a sense in which it is unnatural. Just think about the death of Adam for a second. Genesis says Adam lived 900-something years. They must have thought he was going to live forever. And as he gets older and older, his breathing starts to slow down. There's an Old Testament expression used to describe people when they pass away. It says, so-and-so lived X amount of years, and they breathed their last. They breathed their last. And it's a very vivid and accurate Old Testament expression. When somebody is very sick and at the final moments of their life, let's say from some terminal illness, a lot of times they pass not because the sickness itself, but because the pain medication is so strong, it slows their breathing until they eventually stop. Their respiratory system slows down. So if you see them, they look like this. And each breath gets farther and farther and farther spaced apart until they breathe their last. Imagine Adam living 900 years and his family gathered around him in his deathbed, and he breathed his last. Bizarre. And within seconds after a person passes away, you walk up to them and you touch their skin, and it starts to get cold. It's a strange feeling because the body is there, but the person is no longer there. There is a sense in which this is not the way it's supposed to be. Death is a foreign intruder. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Not only has sin brought death, but it brought a curse which tarnished the quality of the life itself. It made life not only short and finite, but difficult, weak, and fragile. The fragility of life. You know this, living is hard, dying is easy. By the sweat of our brow do we sustain our lives, yet we can go in an instant. People pass away so unexpectedly, it seems. There are a million ways for our lives to end. You have crime, violence from other human beings, recklessness like drunk drivers. You have wars. We have natural disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, famine, and even storms. Even last year, when we had that huge storm that flooded this area, people actually died. We are not talking about some underdeveloped nation. We are talking about 2021 New York City, Queens, New York. People actually died from rain. And then, of course, we have diseases, sickness, viruses, which we are all well informed about now. And then, after all of that, you have just sheer accidents due to human error, right? Or some unforeseen thing, car accidents, people falling down the stairs, tripping over something, and their life can change drastically if it's not taken away. Job, who was no stranger to the effects of a sin-cursed world, said, "Man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward." This is the reality of living in a sin-cursed world. Things are not perfect. They are weak, frail, and subject to decay. We are eternal beings created to live forever, but we live in a fallen world. So, what do we do with this truth? How do we respond to this truth? This is a reality that all people intuitively feel, but we all respond to it differently. For one, we can push it aside, ignore it, put it off for later, pretend it'll never happen. Though we would never say, "I'm not going to die soon," the way we live shows that that's what we actually believe. Because we make no preparation for the afterlife. We make no preparation for eternity. One of the clearest ways we know we're pushing it aside or ignoring it is by putting all of our energy and effort in this life, this side of eternity. When our main goal is to be the best version of yourself, or unleash your full potential, which basically means just become successful and make a lot of money, we know that eternity is out of the picture. The afterlife is out of the picture. But here's the thing. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, we all die the same. Proverbs 11 says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath." And no amount of money in the world can save you. Did you know that Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, when he died, his net worth was $10.2 billion. And he died the same way my dad died, pancreatic cancer. In the final moments of his life, he was struggling to breathe, just like my dad was, until he breathed his last. Moses said in Psalm 90, "We live to 70. If you're strong, you might get to 80. Steve Jobs didn't even make it to 60, and he had all the money in the world. We can push it aside all we want, but in the end, nobody can escape it. Another way we try to respond to this truth is we can try to beautify it or trivialize it or speak about death as if it's nothing, right? That's what some people at the church at Corinth did. "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Speak of it as if it's nothing. You even hear about some people when their loved ones pass away at the funeral, they say things like, "Yep, good old Johnny struck out, finally struck out," as if life is some kind of baseball game. And at the funeral, they even sing, "Take me out to the ball game." Or, "Well, that's life. Bottoms up to Johnny." There's only one problem. Man is destined to die once and then face the judgment, Hebrews says. There's nothing trivial about that. When we die, we stand before God and we give an account of our life. And there is heaven and there is hell, eternal pleasure and eternal agony. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die? Not exactly. Which leads to the third option, which is to fear death. We know life is short and we will die soon, so we are afraid. We can also fear death. And in fact, the Bible says all people do. Hebrews 2 says that humanity, through the fear of death, is subject to lifelong slavery. Through the fear of death is subject to lifelong slavery. We are slaves to the fear of death. It grips us. Why? Because we fear what happens after death, which is the judgment. And we have no certainty about the judgment. We have no assurance about the judgment. So we are afraid. I think this is why there is an obsession with people trying to be healthy and prolong their lives. Because at the heart of it, we're afraid to die. Or to ease our conscience, we turn to religion. I need to do a lot of good things so that God can bless me when I die. That way, I'll be able to say, "Lord, look at all the people I've helped, God. I'm a good person." Or we say, you know, after death, we are reincarnated. We don't actually die. We come back to life as another person. And we have a chance to live again in this world. Or some people even say, as a matter of fact, there is no life after death. We're just animals. We die, we turn into energy, we're recycled in this earth, and then existence moves on. But deep inside, we know that there is an afterlife. And we're afraid to die. So we can fear death, and we are enslaved by that fear. Well, this all seems depressing, doesn't it? Is there another way to deal with this reality? That life will end, and soon, and maybe unexpectedly soon? Is there another way to deal with this truth? There is. There is. We can push it aside. We can trivialize it. Speak of it as if it's nothing. We can fear it. Or we can do what the Apostle Paul did. We can desire it and pour out our short, weak, momentary lives towards eternity. We can desire it and pour out our lives towards eternity. Listen to what he says in Philippians 1 as he sits in a prison cell, not knowing whether he would live or die. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul said, I'd rather die and be with Christ. I want to go home. But you know why I stick around? For Christ and for you. Paul longed to die and go with Christ, go and be with Christ. But in the meantime, he poured out his life for souls. He lived his short, transient, fleeting life in light of eternity. He said, I want to go home, but there are souls to be won. There is a kingdom to be advanced. There are eyes that need to be opened. There's darkness that needs to be illuminated. Chains that need to be broken. And by the way, it was always taught at this church that there are only two things that last forever, God and souls. And the Apostle Paul poured out his life for those two things, those two eternal things. Though this life is a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes, it can be lived to impact eternity. On May 19th, the year 2000, John Piper, a pastor, gave what some people would say is now a historic message to thousands of youth titled, Don't Waste Your Life. And in this message, he shared a story about two missionaries, Ruby and Laura, who were serving the Lord in the later years of their lives, and they had gotten into a car accident and died instantly. And he asked his church and the people in the crowd, is this a tragedy? Is this a tragedy? He said, no. I'll read you what a tragedy is. And he read an article about a couple who took early retirement. Let me read what he read. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago, when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. He said, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. He said with his sarcasm that only John Piper can do, imagine the final chapter of your life and you die and you stand before God and you say, look, Lord, my shell collection. Or look, Lord, I've got a nice swing. I got a nice softball swing. And he began to plead with thousands of young people, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Somebody said John Piper's seashells rocked a generation. At the end of our life, will we say, look, God, my house, my business, my success, my money? At the end of my life, which may be tomorrow, which may be 50 years from now, I want to be able to say what the Apostle Paul said, which is, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I want to be able to say that at the end of my life. I want to exhort you, church. Let us pour out our lives for eternity. Don't spend all of your 20s and 30s and youthful years where you have strength and energy on merely leisure and eating out and hanging out. Do some work for your king. This is not about do some work so that you could be sure you're saved or do some work so you could be more spiritual. No. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, but don't you want to do something for him who saved you? Don't you want to say, I just want to live for him. I want to do something for him. I want to risk something for him. I want to attempt something for Christ. Don't you want to do that? The clock is ticking. As that hymn says, the sands of time are sinking. We only get one life to live, and there's no start overs. And the old preachers used to say, when you step into eternity, 2 seconds into eternity, and we will think about how much more we could have done for Christ while we were on this earth. Can you imagine when the Apostle Paul entered into eternity? People coming up to him and saying, Paul, I give glory to God for your life. Because when you were stoned in Lystra and Derbe, I was there. I saw it. And I heard the message that you preached, and I believed. And I thank God for your life. Or imagine Lydia comes up to him after he dies, says, Paul, remember that time when me and my friends were worshiping on the riverside? And you pulled over on the side of the road, and you said, hey, I have a message to share with you. And you preached the gospel with us, to us. And the Lord opened my heart, and I believed. I give glory to God for your life. Or you can imagine the Philippian jailer comes up to Paul and says, Paul, remember that time that God threw that earthquake in the prison cell and the doors rang open? I was going to kill myself. I was going to kill myself, but you stopped me. And I came up to you and I asked you, Paul, what must I do to be saved? And you told me, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household. And Paul, I believed, and I give glory to God for your life. God used Paul's life for eternal purposes. And you know what? He can use your life too. He can use our lives as well. It may not be as many, but 1, 2 people, maybe 3 people. God can use our short, passing life to impact eternity. One final thought before I end. How is it that Paul was able not to fear death, but long for it? How is it that the chief of sinners could be so confident about his death? Because Hebrews 2 says, Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death to set us free from the lifelong slavery of the fear of death. Jesus tasted death. Jesus came to die. He actually died. Did you know Jesus did not come merely to give us a good example to follow? Jesus did not come merely to give us teachings. Jesus came to actually die, and he actually hung on a cross and bore the wrath of God for us. And here's the amazing thing. Mark's gospel says, after he cried out, it is finished. Mark's gospel says, he breathed his last. Just like Adam did, just like Abraham did, and just like some of our loved ones did. Jesus died. He knows what it tastes like. And he experienced death so that death would no longer be a bitter cup, but a sweet moment that brings us into eternal glory. Because Jesus tasted death for us, we no longer need to fear death, but we can look forward to it and live this short life in light of eternity. I think it was last year, my friend's family member passed away very suddenly, and I was speaking to him, and I'll never forget what he said. We were just talking, and he said, it all feels like a bad dream that you're hoping you could wake up from. It just feels so surreal. And when he said that, I got chills, because I remember when my dad passed away, I said the exact same words, same expression. It feels like a dream, like a nightmare. You're just wishing you wake up from. But you know, as the years went by, as the years have gone by, I realized something. Actually, it's the exact opposite. Before he passed away, I was living in a dream. And now I realize that experience woke me up. Because this is life. This is reality. After he passed away, I was almost like, what? What just happened? Is that it? Is that life? Is that all? And the answer is, yes. That's life. That's it. A mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. It will not make much difference, friend, 100 years from now, if you live in a stately mansion or on a floating river scow, if the clothes you wear are tailor-made or pieced together somehow, if you eat big steaks or beans and cake 100 years from now. It won't matter about your bank account or the make of car you drive, for the grave will claim your riches and fame and the things for which you strive. There's a deadline we all must meet, and no one will turn up late. It won't matter then all the places you've been, each one will keep that date. We will only have in eternity what we gave away on earth. When we go to the grave, we can only save the things of eternal worth. What matters, friend, the earthly gain for which some men always bow? For your destiny will be sealed, you see, 100 years from now. There are some of us here today, you don't know Jesus. And I want to gently remind you, your life will end. It will end soon and may end unexpectedly soon. I want to encourage all of us. Let us wake up from our dream. Let us snap out of our illusion. Turn to Jesus now before this brief, momentary life evaporates. Let's pray.